day in the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 810 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us by phone, as he does every Friday at this time, and for the last 9 years, a long-standing regular guest, Julio Diaz, who is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, Saturdays at 4 here on News Radio, and the Pensacola Movie Club. Follow them on Facebook. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
I think it is somewhere around this time in the fall is what I remember is when we started, so happy near nine-year anniversary.
Well, thank you.
So you guys watched what, The Creator last night?
Yeah. So this is a rarity. It is a new original science fiction movie that is not based on any kind of existing intellectual property. It's not a book. It's not a 10th sequel. It's not a spinoff. This is a brand new thing. So we didn't seem to get a whole lot of those. So that's kind of nice. It is co-written and directed and produced by Gareth Edwards, who is probably best known for doing Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
Oh, okay.
So if you saw that movie, you may have some idea, a little bit of an idea of what to expect. His movies can be a little bit bleak, and this one is a little bit bleak, too.
Like any good sci-fi could be.
Yeah. I say it's original. It is a new intellectual property. Let's put it that way. It does here and there fall into some tropes, but overall, I think it's a pretty good movie. It's about a very cutting edge, idea. It's about AI and, about, a near future where a portion of the human race, basically America, has gone to war against artificial intelligence because 10 years prior to the start of the movie, there had been a situation where, you know, AI was kind of running a lot of things for humanity, and then AI nuked Los Angeles.
Okay.
Where have you heard that before, Terminator?
It sounds a bit Judgment Day-y or a bit of Averted War Games, whichever way you want to take it. Okay, go ahead.
But you know, it goes in a completely different direction from there. AI is welcomed and kind of embraced in what they call New Asia, which is Southeast Asia, and there they're very much aligned with the humans that live there, but the Americans are very much against it. And it centers around this character played by John David Washington, who was undercover trying to find the creator of this AI and undergoes a tragedy and then gets pulled back in to supposedly find this ultimate weapon that's been developed. Well, there's a lot
he's
more
working at Cyberdyne Systems. That's where you find him.
He's more military. It's a little different than that, but it's overall well executed. The acting is good. The effects are fantastic. The movie looks like $1 million. Probably, I guess I should say $200 million.
Yeah, right. With inflation, Julio, yes, you've got to keep up. All right.
I have no idea what they actually spent on it, but every bit of whatever they spent on it, you do see on the screen. It's a real solid flick, and I think if you like science fiction, you're going to enjoy it.
Okay. We're a little short on time here, but Saw, the 53rd edition, Saw X is out, right?
Yeah, 10th movie, but we're going back in time here. This takes place between the first and second Saw films, for those of you that are deeply entrenched in the Saw continuity.
Okay.
So that means
the Saw Cinematic Universe, the SCU, as we like to call it.
Yeah. So that means that you. Well, what this boils down to is it means you get Tobin Bell back, who was the original Jigsaw, who they killed off at some point in the series. So that's the big thing with this one. It takes place between the first and second movies. For those who know the movies, you know that Jigsaw had cancer. And this is him following up, looking into what might be a miracle cure. It turns out to be a scam. and then him taking his revenge on the scam artist.
As you would expect, right? Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, I will say this. I'm not a fan of this franchise, but this is getting some of the best reviews of the entire franchise and is pretty widely thought to be, if not the best, one of the best Saw films, running 85% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, that is high. We have a Paw Patrol movie out. We have The Kill Room out. What are you guys going to watch next week, Julio?
Well, it's starting to look like slim pickings for the next couple of weeks until Taylor Swift comes along in 2 weeks, but they're not going to do preview screenings on that.
So, okay.
The big
so
movie
that'll be Friday or bust for that one?
Yeah. So, and then the big movie next week is Exorcist the Believer, which had moved up a week from getting out of Taylor Swift's way. And the first of a trilogy, because we need another trilogy.
Of course we do. Yeah. I mean, well, why make just one movie?
It's going to be a trilogy because, you know, everybody wants to be a trilogy for some reason.
Well, Julio Diaz, he is the host of Let's Go Pensacola 4 o'clock on Saturdays, talks about all kinds of cool stuff. You should really check it out. And also, of course, he founded and heads up the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook. You can follow him. Julio, as always, thanks for the good information. Thanks for all the years of good information. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, thanks, Andrew.
816 News Radio 92.3 Transgressors Ceremony comes up next. The late service, in case you missed the early one. Oh. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Are you going to pass the plate?
Oh, we should.
Oh, we totally should. We should not. As we take a look at our roads, good news is we're not showing any of these slowdowns or delays right now at Habershawn Lane in Charlton Street, which is off 29 in Quintet. Looks like it may have been cleaned up. 98 running smoothly. A little slow getting on and off the 3 mile bridge in both directions, but the bridge itself is clear. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. At New South Window, we bring the factory to you. Our windows and doors are made with quality in mind, and your products and insulation are backed by our lifetime warranty. That's because New South Window knows the importance of single-source accountability. We believe in removing the middleman so you get more for your money. This is real factory direct. One company, one call, guaranteed for life. Get New South proud.
For a limited time only, when you buy more, you can save more. Visit NewSouthWindow.com to learn more.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknights at 7 after Pensacola right now with Joe and Gracie on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
First remembrance this week is for Mount Evans, an obscure peak southwest of Denver, which had been named for John Evans, the second territorial governor of the Centennial State and superintendent of Indian Affairs. Evans, as I'm sure you all know, was forced to resign following the Sand Creek Massacre of 200 Arapaho and Cheyenne by the U.S. Cavalry under Colonel John Chivington in 1864, as part of Evans' directive to subdue the indigenous people he feared would overrun Denver while it lacked military protection during the Civil War. Yes, Evans, in his brief two-year tenure after being appointed by Lincoln, helped establish the legal, educational, and economic systems of Colorado, including bringing the Union Pacific Railroad to Denver, connecting it with both San Francisco and Galveston, Texas, which is why Mount Evans was named for him in 1895. But of course, all of that palefaces in comparison with the massacre, which is why our Wokelitesses have been diligently working toward and now succeeded at renaming Mount Evans as Mount Blue Sky in honor of the Arapaho, who are also known as the Blue Sky People, and the Cheyenne, who celebrate an annual renewal of life ceremony called Blue Sky. Now, of course, this is just another link in the justice-making chain being forged by the American government in rebranding every national landmark in a more pro-Indian and, whenever possible, unpronounceable way. For instance, in order to even get to Mount Blue Sky, you have to drive past former Squaw Mountain on former Squaw Pass Road, both of which were renamed in 2021 as Mesta'ai Hehe Mountain and Mesta'ai Hehe Pass. In fact, the mountain is so geographically remote that Mesta'ai Hehe Pass had to be built solely for the purpose of sightseeing it. This, of course, is all designed to make white Americans feel alienated from the land and guilty for stealing it and having the audacity to domesticate it, cultivate it, and build it into the most prosperous nation in history, all without permission of the natives who often fought so bravely to prevent America from becoming what it is today. And so we celebrate you, Mount Blue Sky, and we cast out the white oppressor name Mount Evans. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, the stained glass windows in the National Cathedral, which had featured Confederate generals Robert E. Lee and Thomas Stonewall Jackson. Donated by the Daughters of the Confederacy in 1953, the Episcopal Church had envisioned them as a way of healing the division between Northern and Southern members of the denomination lingering from the Civil War. The windows feature many pairings of Union and Confederate soldiers engaged in productive endeavors, along with flags of both the United States and the Confederacy, beneath images of Abraham Lincoln as a semi-savior of the nation, General Lee reverently reading his Bible, and General Jackson passing over into glory, all of them devoted Christians. Now, clearly anyone with any sense at all knows that representing the healing unity of formerly warring sides would totally be our bag, baby. Except for the fact that we do not want healing and unity with the South. We want them to be vanquished, vilified, and vehemently vituperated. And that is why we are so proud to see another great success for our Otherin in Disarms, who have replaced these wicked panes of reverential unity with glorious images of faceless civil rights protesters carrying signs proclaiming such poignant slogans as fairness, no foul play, or simply no, and this one is my personal favorite, a sign that simply says not. Yes, the images are not ornate, and the slogans are not subtle, but at least the marchers are black and they do not have faces. We celebrate replacing the previous thought-provoking images and their overly complex messages, such as that even the enemies we fight against may well be men of our common faith, sincerely trying to do what's right and destined to share heaven with us as we are all children of a loving God, or that we should remember our history no matter how painful it might be. Instead, we must make sure that onlookers learn that civil rights marchers are good. Period. Message complete. I am, of course, here reminded of the wise counsel of Reverend Perry the Obvious, who taught, "Thou must always dumbeth everything down, so that there may beeth no confusion nor complexity of thought amongst thine sheep." Provoking actual thought is the very last thing we want to do. Thus, we cherish the new windows and the fact that they will never, ever invite a parishioner to spend more than a moment contemplating their meaning on any level other than the most superficial and instantaneous. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we want to celebrate yet another masterpiece of woke-aganda being delivered by the Walt Disney Company in their forthcoming animated feature, Wish. As the newly released trailer clearly shows, this is yet another glorious story of a heroic young woman who finds herself living in a repressive patriarchy led by a narcissistic sovereign.
Once upon a time stood Rosas, a most magical kingdom, founded by a king with the power to grant wishes.
You are their handsomest, most beloved king.
You're right. I am a handsome king.
Yes, in the land of Rosas, the nearly all-powerful male monarch grants the wishes of his subjects, but rather than granting them all, this wicked potentate, who inherited his crown as the firstborn male, no doubt, capriciously decides to grant some and not other of the deepest heart desires of his unsuspecting subjects.
Asha, come with me. The wishes of Rosas.
Wow.
People give their wishes to me, and I grant the wishes I am sure are good for Rosas.
Some of these will never be granted.
Not some, most.
They deserve more than
I decide what everyone deserves.
Ominous music taken to heart. But along comes Asha, a name that means hope or desire, who will usher in the socialist utopia in which everyone's wishes can come true, no matter how absurd or juvenile or contradictory they may be. Yes, Asha will show that tapping into the pagan power of the universe inside of her, she can fight the patriarchy, live her truth, bring down the fake god-man who presumes to rule benevolently over his people, and manifest a kaleidoscope world of unicorn farts and plump dancing stars so lovely only a fruit-flavored candy wrapper could possibly picture it. Men are wicked, women are good, adults are selfish, children are noble, and the Christian God, so clearly represented by King Dream Denier, must be overthrown if the Rosens are ever going to taste the rainbow of their Skittlestopia. Thank goodness for yet another Disney movie with no male role models that champions wispy Shiro revolutionaries who sing their way into liberation just by the virtue of their own naive egalitarianism. Well done, comradettes. Well done. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
As you depart today, please keep Janice Ford in your self-flagellations as she continues to struggle with the temptation to convert to capitalism. Sadly, Janice was innocently taking a college course in her Florida hometown and was very deliberately exposed to the history of communism because of the new educational requirements signed by Governor DeSantis last year. Since we had no advance warning of her dangerous decision to gain an education, we didn't have time to properly inoculate her against these villainous facts ahead of time, and she now finds herself suspecting that capitalism actually produces a better quality of life for all instead of the glorious equity through universal poverty we offer in our system. Please say your mantras for her at a distance and do not engage her in conversation, or she may spread her free market idea germs to you if you're not careful. We hope she recovers soon. Refreshments this week include sugar-free, salt-free, butter-free, additive-free biscuits made with carbon-neutral soy milk and unbleached whole-grain wheatgrass flour. There will be no toppings this week due to our ongoing boycott of the Jelly Industrial Complex. Please watch each other carefully for signs of choking and drink plenty of non-potable treated effluent as you fellowship in somber self-reflectivity.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
826.
Oh,
News Radio 92.3.
I don't even know where to start.
and also in the stained glass, they're all wearing jeans.
Like the stained glass thing, I know. There's no faces. They're all wearing jeans.
It is genuinely the ugliest stained glass window I have ever seen. It's so unimaginative. Well, anyway.
It's different. I
don't
know. I do hate
say what you want.
I will.
You know?
I will. taking a look at
you're beyond the pale face.
Beyond the pale face. Hate you. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. We're not showing any slowdowns or delays except for here in the studio. And it's me. Habershawn Lane and Charlton Street in Cantonment. That's the only thing that I'm seeing right now. Certainly use caution. I don't see any other slowdowns at the moment. 29 running accident free. If you see an accident or a slowdown, you can let us know. Again, text it in. 437-1620. We do have the wrap coming up next with Ellison Bennett and Josh Newby. Right?
That's right.
Is that right? News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I misquoted myself.
Your butt.
I misquoted myself. It's all of that pale faces in comparison.
You're such a jerk.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the big news this morning, California Senator Dianne Feinstein has died. She was 90, the oldest member of the U.S. Senate and the longest serving senator from California. She'd been in bad health for a lot of the past year. House Oversight Committee James Comer issuing subpoenas for Hunter Biden's bank records. That's part of the GOP's impeachment inquiry into President Joe Biden. House Republicans claim the president improperly profited off of his son's foreign business dealings. And apparently Marilyn Manson has now settled a rape lawsuit that was set to go to trial next week. Rolling Stone is reporting that a notice of settlement was filed this week by a lawyer for an anonymous woman who had sued the rock star in 2021, claiming he'd raped her, threatened her, deprived her of food. The woman said she chose to settle because since filing the lawsuit, she's been threatened and harassed. The terms of the settlement have not been disclosed.
Because otherwise, I mean, Marilyn Manson seemed like such a straightforward person. So
yeah,
normal.
So normal. Yeah, right?
All fine.
Okay, he started as a journalist. He was like us, and then he wasn't.
Don't say that.
What? You guys aren't journalists?
But don't say it in connection with Marilyn Manson.
It's a bad word, Candy. What are you doing?
Yeah, what are you trying to do to us here? Come on now.
So, Dianne Feinstein.
Hope you don't choke on your wheatgrass biscuits. 437-1620. Well, the boycott is real of the Jelly Industrial Complex. Pensacola Seafood Festival. That's today. today.
All this weekend.
Through Sunday, delicious seafood, all kinds of events and vendors and art and all that stuff. You can find out more at newsradio923.com or for goodness sakes, just go. I mean, you know. Bands on the Beach. Also, Bands on the Beach next Tuesday. We're going to have True Blue Band is going to be the October 3rd performing artist.
Great.
7 o'clock at the Gulfside Pavilion, put on by the Santa Rosa Island Authority. So all kinds of good stuff going on there. What else do we have going on? I thought there was one that had really caught my attention, and now I can't seem to find it. But no, we got to save that for next week. I'll just mention this to you. There is a trend out there where people are renting parents to helicopter their kids while they're at college. And you know what my wife's thought was? Finally, I can get paid by somebody for this.
I wish Danny was my mom. I'm older.
Oh, man. She would be the best helicopter mom for hire ever.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. California Senate Democrat Dianne Feinstein passed away overnight. She was 90 years old, in the Senate since 1992. The United Auto Workers Union is expected to announce more strike targets today.
It's not just our time. It's about time.
Doc Killian works at a Ford plant on strike in Wayne, Michigan. 2 days now before a partial government shutdown if there's no deal on spending, Pennsylvania Republican Scott Perry.
The American people are sick of the status quo here in Washington, D.C., where a couple people in the House and the Senate make some huge deal and you have to vote for all kinds of terrible things that bankrupt the country to keep the government open. We are done with that.
Minnesota Democrat Dean Phillips also on Fox.
It's a failure, by the way, of both Democratic and Republican House leadership over generations that have created the circumstance in which we find ourselves.
America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's a beautiful morning right now, 67 degrees. Partly cloudy skies here in Pensacola today. The Florida Supreme Court says state regulators with the Public Service Commission didn't adequately justify Florida Power and Light's big rate hike back in 2021. In a 4-2 opinion yesterday, the court sent a battle about the settlement back to PSC, saying they didn't show why that agreement was allowed and show why the rate increase was in the public interest. They also say that they didn't show why the rates were fair, just, and reasonable in that initial decision back in 2021. The court now wants the Public Service Commission to supply a new, more articulated decision. Another year of growth for UWF. President Dr. Martha Saunders says 14,000 students are enrolled this fall. That's the biggest number in 56 years. Also, another big year for recognition at the university.
We've been recognized as a gold-level university in the large public school category in the annual military-friendly schools list for 23-24. UWF earned the gold distinction for success in helping veterans make the transition from the military to school, and ultimately rewarding civilian careers.
That was from the State of the University address yesterday. Dr. Saunders also highlighted the successful Florida legislative session as UWF received a $21.5 million increase in operating enhancements. As for the future, she also talked about a number of projects underway or in store for the university, including the new on-campus stadium, residence hall, and the Sandy Sansing Sports Medicine Center. Former President Donald Trump is joining other Republican candidates today in Anaheim for the GOP fall convention in California. Trump, one of the scheduled speakers today, along with Governor DeSantis and South Carolina Senator Tim Scott. Businessman Vivek Ramaswamy will speak tomorrow. The 2023 Walk to End Alzheimer's is happening this coming weekend. It'll be Sunday afternoon at Community Maritime Park. Registration at 2, the Promise Garden ceremony at 3.
They'll hold those flowers during the ceremony. We have someone who will be holding a blue flower. That's someone who's living with the disease. Our purple flower, you've lost someone to the disease. Our yellow flower is our caregivers. And our orange flower is our advocacy flower.
Tina Henson with the Alzheimer's Association says the walk route is about 2.5 miles long. A shorter 1 mile option is available as well. Participants are encouraged to wear purple, and you can find more at act.alz.org/Pensacola. Well, we're about a month away now from the start of the season for the Pensacola Ice Flyers. Back in July, the team announced Gary Graham would be returning as their head coach. He led them to the SPHL title back in 2013. Last night, the team hosted a meet and greet with fans at the Bay Center.
Some people might say, well, why did Gary bring back so many guys? It was a disappointing season for us as an organization last year, but I see a lot of potential with the group. And I think just a little spark and playing a little bit different, more high-paced game is going to help us.
And that's the next season here. We'll start Saturday, October 21st, with a game in Birmingham. And right now it's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. And let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Candy.
Taking a look around. We're not showing any of these slowdowns or delays. 3 Mile Bridge is accident-free right now. Looks like we've had a pretty good morning. 87, just fine. Avalon not showing any issues. And 98, clear. If you see an accident or a slowdown, 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Sunshine is back for most of us as we go through Friday. After a cool start, we'll have highs warm into the mid to upper 80s with mostly sunny skies with the northeast wind at about 10 miles per hour. It'll feel beautiful out there. Another cool morning on Saturday morning too, but highs will return to the lower 90s for most of us, especially if you live further inland. Through the weekend, not expecting any rain, lots of sunshine as we go through the next couple of days. That's your weather forecast. I'm meteorologist Joseph Neubauer reporting here at WEAR News.
It's 67 in Pensacola, 68 in Gulf Breeze, 65 in Milton. Your next news at 9, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
What'd you do this time, Brad?
I'm in the doghouse after my hunting trip last weekend.
Yeah, I was too. I blew off our date.
How'd you get out of the doghouse?
Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. I got her a gift card. It took 3 minutes at swmedspa.com. She booked it this Saturday.
Saturday? So 9 holes then?
Tea time's at 8.
To enjoy a hassle-free guys weekend, treat her to a gift card from Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. Follow Stillwater's on Facebook or Instagram to enter contests and win great prizes. Or visit swmedspa.com.
Secret offers. Guaranteed returns. Over-the-top promises that you too can make fast money. These are all red flags that you should be wary of when looking at investment opportunities. Visit Florida's Office of Financial Regulation website 24/7 to learn what questions to ask before you invest. Remember, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Visit SLOFR.gov to learn more. This message is sponsored by the Florida Office of Financial Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Start your mornings with Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9. Followed by the Pensacola Expert Panel, or Pep Talk. Then, join the national news conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins at 11. Fox News' Guy Benson takes over at 2. And join Gracie Rep up your workday from 4 till 7. And then, Dave Ramsey takes over. On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Everybody jump! I said a hip, the hip, the hip, 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 hop, you don't stop. Rap, 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 rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's the end of the week. It's 8:38 here on News Radio 92.3, and I have a couple of friends here in studio with me to just chat about the events of the week and whatever else happens to come up. I always love this because it's the only time when I have no idea where the show is going. I mean, I have some idea, but mostly, you know, I might think it's going to go over here, and then, you know, we just wind up in Mississippi, and it's a good time in Mississippi sometimes. It's
sometimes,
fine.
Absolutely.
We have Josh Newby, a many times offender here on the wrap, who is the executive director of the Council on Aging.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Very good. And we have Allison Bennett, also a longtime friend of the show and, you know, calls in with tips and perspectives all the time, and, of course, a community activist and former police chief.
Police officer.
Police officer,
and
okay.
A former county deputy. So.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Elsewhere in Florida, but still good enough.
Yes.
And as his hat identifies, I'm a Vietnam veteran.
Yes.
Which I appreciate that.
Very
Allison,
proud
welcome
of
back.
That.
So let's start with this, just because I know, Allison, something you're passionate about. You know, I know you are always very connected to when there's incidents of violence, you know, whether somebody gets hurt or doesn't get hurt, shootings very much concern you, as they, you know, rightly should. But this incident that took place out of Workman Middle School, which is, you know, anytime there's something close to a school, that's always a very sobering thing because, you know, outside could be inside or nearby. You know, that's a problem.
Yeah.
But, you know, at least they had, you know, apprehended the person, but that doesn't solve the underlying, well, why did this happen in the first place?
Well, I, ironically, I was at a funeral home yesterday doing a viewing of Georgia Blackman. And
oh, yeah.
The gentleman sitting next to me, he said it was his nephew that got shot at Workman Middle School. And I told him, I said, hey, I thank God that your nephew survived.
Yeah.
But we all as citizens ought to do all we can to discourage people to commit acts of violence. I mean, enough is all this shooting going on. It's just too much.
And now you and I were talking about this off the air before we started that my impression of the events, and you know, I kind of tried to double check on this, but was that it was sort of a, it happened while there was basketball going on inside, but it wasn't connected to the crowd or the school. It was just an isolated incident.
Absolutely.
Okay.
This guy that drove up, 24 years old, decided he wanted to shoot somebody.
Mm.
In talking with law enforcement, they think it's related to another shooting that happened maybe a year ago.
Okay.
But it's ridiculous. I tell people all the time, you can disagree with a person all day. You don't have to shoot them.
Yeah. What do you think of this, you know, they're starting this program in the Escambia County School System where they're going to do anger management classes as a way to help with the troubled students, repeat offenders, I guess. And, I mean, I personally think, great, try something. You know, if you're going to, you know, teach some, you know, some self-evaluation, psychological, social skills to folks who, you know, may have never been given anything like that. And I kind of think, like, even if it doesn't stick for many of them, even if you, if all you do is change the lives of a 10% or a quarter of the kids, I mean, that's still better than nothing, right, Josh?
Yeah, and, you know, I think that kids see, you know, public freakouts and Karens freaking out about things tend to go viral on social media and TikTok. And so children consuming that think that that's how you deal with conflict.
Oh, my God,
you
so true.
You raise the temperature all the way to the top. You have this big public freakout. And that's what they're seeing. So that's how they're understanding conflict. That's how they're understanding how to deal with conflict. So it makes sense that, you know, their first step is not a conversation. Their first step is not to ask a question. Their first step is to get into a fight or to raise the temperature. So if we can bring that down, I think it's going to be huge.
No, that's a great point. And, you know, a lot of times if you grow up in, I'll just say, a healthy family, mm-hmm. you know, what you see is a lot of conflict resolution. You see a lot of de-escalation. You see people negotiate. And, you know, you see friction points that get alleviated.
Right.
And if you're not seeing that at home, and what you are seeing is friends who are also coming from unhealthy backgrounds and they don't see a lot of that at home, and then you go on social media or you watch a movie or you know, all the programming you're getting is reinforcing the wrong pattern.
Right.
Absolutely.
Where would you ever learn the healthy pattern from any of that? And, you know, look, nobody's going to run a news story on the time when people successfully de-escalated.
Right.
Though we should if we want to prevent people from learning the bad patterns. But no, I agree with you. That's a great point.
A good friend of mine, Reverend Rodney Jones, starting a program October the 2nd, and it's called New World Believer Hoops. Have nothing to do with basketball. This is for children between the ages of 12 and 18. Mm-hmm. They're going to talk, counsel them on anger management, financial illiteracy, depression. And the good thing about it, they will pay these young people $50 a week.
Oh, great.
To attend the program.
An incentive that they understand.
Yeah.
And they have counselors for the parents. Because what we find, you can nurture a child at school all you want.
Right.
It is the environment they're going back to at the end of the day.
Yeah, and, you know, the amount of time, even though, you know, teachers have a lot of time with a kid.
Yes.
But most of that time is spent in education or facilitation. It's not really spent in mentoring or, you know, psychological instruction or anything like that. And as you say, if they then go home and things are a mess at home, that's the longstanding pattern that they internalize. And, you know, do you, the things that you see that result in, you know, like the retaliatory shooting or the, you know, the group of criminal juveniles going around. You know, we don't have the smash and grabs here, but we do have the car door openings and the taking of the money and guns and whatever they can find. I know this is not particularly a Christian perspective on it, but I believe in anybody can be redeemed. But in terms of what's practically useful as a social response, I worry that for those like a 17 or a 16-year-old who's already engaging in that, that's hard to rescue. Yeah. It's a whole lot easier to divert an 8-year-old than it is to divert a 16-year-old. Am I?
Yeah. No, well, you're absolutely right. You know, I said last week or 2 weeks ago when the 15-year-old young lady shot her mother and her mother fiance. Right. If somebody could have got to this child when she was 12 or 10 and instill in her positive things, can you imagine someone shooting their mother? That child, 15 years old, should have been getting ready to go to school that morning.
Right.
Not shooting your mother and your mother's fiance. That is just, but that is the climate in which we live. It is so much negative things out there on social media, and people glorify gangsters. Mm-hmm. I don't understand that.
Yeah. And then, like taking that particular case, you say, well, what would be normal for her? What is her pattern? What is she following? What is she seeing? Right. And, you know, I don't know that, like the Blazer Academy, it's going to affect a couple dozen people at a time. Or this anger management thing might affect a few dozen people at a time. Or, you know, Big Brothers and Big Sisters might affect, a few hundred people over the course of time. You know, and those things, to me, I think those things make a difference. But it's finding, you know, who's vulnerable, who's prone towards the wrong direction, finding them early enough that you can have leverage and really influence it, and then getting the influence that they need.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you learn this in marriage. You learn this raising kids. It is amazing what walking away from a situation for 60 seconds.
Oh, my God,
It is the last thing you want to do when, your monkey brain takes over.
Right.
But teaching a 5-year-old that, an 8-year-old that, just walk away. Just take a minute.
Yeah.
Take a beat, I think, could be.
I know my monkey brain's as powerful as any, and it's but the take a breath, leave the situation. Yeah. It's amazing, and it may not be even for just your benefit, but for the other person
Absolutely.
Too. You know, sometimes you're giving both parties. I always tell my it's the thing I've probably said to my kids. I don't have a lot of catchphrases with my boys, but the thing I have told them more than anything else, probably other than I love you, is just go to a different place.
Yeah.
Leave the area. Yes. Leave the area. And, just that is like a miracle worker for, effective conflict resolution. 847 on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic for us.
29 not showing any delays or anything. It looks like a good morning so far. Scenic turning onto the curve at Cervantes, not showing any problems. If you see an accident or have a traffic tip, you can text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
So speaking of outstanding conflict resolution skills, we had a GOP debate this week.
Yeah.
That was the hallmark of civility,
decency. We had decency. Six or seven speeches that were happening at the same time.
Yeah, kind of a little bit too view-esque for me.
Yeah.
But if you're looking to the GOP to pattern for you outstanding diplomacy and civility, well, you weren't seeing it on Fox Business. But then again, very few people were seeing it on Fox Business because nobody was watching, apparently. But what did you think of the debate, Josh?
I remember in 2016 when there were so many Republicans running. Mm-hmm. They had,
17, I think it was. It was crazy,
They
the
had
number.
The primary debate, and then they had the sort of undercard debate.
That's right,
remember that?
Yeah.
This feels, every person on that stage is polling cumulatively less than Trump.
Right.
Trump is still 20 points ahead of everyone combined. So this feels like the undercard debates of yore, where everyone's just trying to make as much noise. I think the only adult in the room was Nikki Haley.
Well, I thought she did well.
And I agree. I told people I hope she emerges as the front runner or the nominee.
Listen, could win the general.
She would demolish Biden in the general. I'm sure of that.
When are these people going to talk about gun control? We have a gun problem in America. Let's talk about doing things for senior citizens. And I'm so glad you're here to talk about counseling on the aging. But let's do things that help everyday working people, which bring to my mind a shutdown.
Right.
I lived through that the last time it happened. That is not a good feeling. Someone telling you got to come to work every day, and not paid. Now, I know they do pay the government employees back pay.
Right. They'll get it eventually, but that doesn't help you.
That don't help you in the present.
Right.
And I think everyone in Congress should say, hey, I'm not accepting my pay either. If I'm going to hinder other people from getting a check, I should not accept mine.
Yeah, it's a truly bizarre situation when the people who can't figure out how to make a budget work are still going to get their own pay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, because what did you do to earn this exactly? If you can't manage to do the simple, most basic, fundamental operation of government?
I mean, it's the full faith and credit, right? And at this point, they're compromising the bond rating. I mean, Moody's is talking about downgrading them, and we're in record, debt to GDP ratio. What does that say about our issue to sell debt, to finance our own debt? It is ridiculous.
And yet,
were saying before we got on air, thank the good Lord they passed, a clothing.
They successfully reinvigorated the dress code because Lord knows we can't get a budget deal done, but we can make sure that John Fetterman don't show up in shorts and a hoodie. Good. Well done, sirs and ma'ams. Yes. You really carried the ball across the finish line with this one.
It is amazing.
So, here's the thing. Like, most, certainly Republicans and many Democrats, they say fiscal responsibility. They say do the good thing. They say we're going to be smart. But then they go up there and they don't do that.
They don't do that.
Well, Lumen is a fiscal conservative.
So ask him. He'll tell you. Yeah, exactly. And then Burgash will tell you he's even more.
Right.
But we keep reelecting him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's the sad part.
Right.
Because it's weird. Yeah. This weird phenomenon where we hate all the other members of Congress,
except we
love ours.
Right.
Right.
And then everybody, we reelect ours, okay? And, they're loved enough that they keep getting reelected. I mean, for goodness sake, Hank Johnson in Georgia gets reelected, And so collectively as a country, we apparently, we love our person, but we send a group back there who are incompetent at the job.
Well, it's a person is smart, people are stupid.
And apparently Congress proves the point.
Yes, exactly.
Andrew, what do you think about the situation where the people that was held hostage by Iran I tell people, it was Iran money that we was holding anyway. They didn't take something out of the budget of the United States. They say, look, we'll free up your $6 billion or whatever if you give us these Americans back.
Unlike the pallets of cash we sent the first time under Obama, right? This was not actually our money or not seized money, right? This was,
So it was like,
I still don't like it because it seems, it's setting the pattern, right? Setting an expectation and a precedent.
Yeah.
And frankly, I'm under no expectation that that money is actually going to get used for the humanitarian purposes it's supposedly earmarked for.
Well, look who you're dealing with.
Yeah, it's Iran. I mean, you don't take hostages and then get paid.
I'm just glad
to see
the Americans back home.
Absolutely. I mean, that's an outcome nobody can argue with, right?
Absolutely.
But how do we get there and what does it mean for the future? That's the part that concerns me. 437-1620, if you have something that you want me to ask our guest, I will try to do my best for it. Yeah, I'm concerned about – I guess I haven't been worried about this shutdown because every other time something takes care of it. Like
Let me ask you something, Andrew. Should we eliminate the debt ceiling?
Oh, I go the other way. I think you should pass a balanced budget amendment.
Okay.
But I'm with you in this, that the debt ceiling serves no function.
Correct.
Because they just violate it and raise it.
Correct.
Absolutely.
And so there's no point in pretending it's an actual thing.
It's an active theater.
Right, exactly. And so in that regard, why bother keeping it?
Well, it was Warren Buffett, right, that said that you should index the GDP and tie.
I remember him 5%. Having something fairly creative.
Right.
But they have to obey it. And again,
correct.
What apparently they don't believe there's enough value to them politically to doing the things that would be necessary to make that happen. And so they keep getting reelected. So. Politicians are purely selfish beasts in the sense that they understand the market of their political, electoral chances, and they do what they need to get reelected. And they clearly don't believe that solving the budget, the deficit, getting spending under control, doing better, doing their jobs, that any of that is going to cost them an election if they don't accomplish
it. And to the credit of some of our GOP potential nominees, they've called Trump out.
Yes.
For, you know, the conservative
side. As much debt expansion as anybody. Exactly. Absolutely, yeah. Right. Of course, I will say this in somewhat of a defense of Trump. How many of them do we know would have done different under the same circumstances?
Exactly. And that's the thing, is they're hypocrites.
I mean, you know, obviously DeSantis can claim he does line item vetoes, and he does because he has that power in the state of Florida. And
you can't do that on the federal level.
But the budget has expanded, and again, though I'm a DeSantis supporter in a lot of ways, there's a lot of money came to Florida from the feds under the spending that he and other GOP members like to decry as the source of inflation. Well, you know. So there's a lot to this story more than meets the eye.
As a former elected official, I served on the city council in Haines City, Florida from 84 to 87. And I always said, I'm not going to ask someone to do something I'm not willing to do myself.
Mm-hmm.
So why would I sit on any governing body and say, okay, guys, you're not going to get your paycheck, but I'm going to get mine.
Right.
I just think that's awful.
I'll just be honest. I would easily ask other people to do things that I won't do because I don't want to do the garbage, and I don't want to do the sewer, and I don't want to be the cop, and I don't want to be the EMS, and I'm glad they do it, but I will pay them. I will eagerly pay them what they're due. We're having the wrap right now with Josh Newby and Allison Bennett. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
As we take a look around, good news is we're not showing any of these slowdowns or delays. There is an accident now off 98. It's Frankfort Street, Citrus Drive, and Manatee Street in Navarre. But again, not blocking anything. Everything in Baghdad looking fine. Same in Milton, 90, 87, all good. And 89, too, for that matter. If you have traffic tips, text them in. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Ken. You got a text in here. Somebody says that in the military, we called it a training timeout, when you're told to walk away from a situation.
Yes.
And training. Yeah, you know, and that's actually kind of an interesting one because, you know, the military has to deal with all kinds of things like this.
Absolutely.
You know, people who haven't learned good, you know, social skills or self-assessment skills or, you know, conflict negotiation. I mean, obviously, a big part of training in the military is, you know, how to effectively kill people and destroy things. But it's also how to operate as a unit, unit cohesion, brotherhood, support, deference, submission, respect to authority.
Mm.
I'm not saying that, you know, we need to have the military running the K through threes, but... maybe worse ideas out there than having some of the retired military that live in this area do a little bit of mentoring.
Yeah, well, discipline is big in the military. I remember when I went to basic training, I went like, oh, my God, who is this drill sergeant?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we have rules and regulations, and politicians feel they do not have to follow the rules and regulations. That's why we have so much chaos.
And the kids, and I sympathize with a lot of the teachers where,
you
know, they feel like they have no stick to swing. I mean, they just, what can you do? You know, and it's whether the culture leading a certain way or things get prohibited or they get the ones, you know, they get raked over the coals if they do anything adverse to the kid. You know, your wife's a teacher, Josh, and, you know, she deals with discipline issues all day long, you know, and she loves her kids.
I go back to my comment from earlier that they model what they see and they model what they see on TV as successful. Our representatives do the same things.
Yeah.
You know,
are you talking about the Milton City Council now? Or the Escambia County Commission? Santa Rosa County Commission?
Escambia. But no,
pick
I mean,
your target.
You know, Matt Gaetz, Lauren Boebert, you know, they all go viral for raising the temperature in the room.
The loudest thing.
How is what they're doing different than what children are doing in our
schools? The best zinger. I mean, the debate the debate was a catastrophe.
Absolutely.
Oh,
but the debate was
God, easily
a reflection of where we are. And not just you can only blame the moderators so far.
Right.
Yes.
You know, clearly the participants also failed across the board to bring, you know, civility and decorum, but That debate looked an awful lot like anything I see on social media or any political discussion I see in real life. That just
Another
looks like people these days.
Soap opera.
Yeah.
You
right.
know, that's what...
And in that way, they represent their base.
Right.
And what else can we ask?
Because people – and look, the king of all of that.
Yeah.
I mean, Trump wasn't there, but he's the king of all of that. He's not a de-escalator. He's not a conflict. Yeah. I mean, he might be effective in negotiation, but as a model for, you know – rapprochement and unity burying the hatchet. I mean, for goodness sakes, he puts up a comment on True Social about how General Milley, who's retiring, would have deserved the death penalty or at least deserved death as a traitor. I mean, God, my goodness.
I know.
And yet, 50% of the party,
that's
you
right.
know, or 60%.
Hey,
they
right.
support him. I you know, I just want to see somebody who is a good person run for president. that have the best interests of the citizens of this country at heart.
Wouldn't it be fantastic, and I know this is a hard stretch to put your brain around, but wouldn't it be fantastic if we had an election in which we thought, I want my person, and they're great, but if we lose, the other person's pretty good too. Can you imagine?
Can you imagine?
Would never happen.
Well, at least we'll make sure that they're not wearing a hoodie and shorts to
That's
the floor.
Right.
Oh, my
so
God.
We got
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3.